Using an overpriced trash bag.
Pricey, pricey, pricey!
A bag that breaks.
Whippy, whippy, whippy!
Or a smelly bag.
Stinky, stinky, stinky!
Time to switch to Hefty Ultra Strong Trash Bags, always at an ultra low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
They're our best bags yet, and they cost less than Glad ForceFlex were sold head-to-head. So you'll be...
happy, happy, happy!
Hefty Ultra Strong with Arm & Hammer Odor Control. Available at Sam's Club.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to the Change Agent's Dilemma for Tuesday, September 28th, 2010 on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Heather Stagel, coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia, as I do every 2 weeks on Tuesdays at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. The show is one of the many ways I help equip individuals to lead organizational change at Enclaria LLC. The Change Agent's Dilemma is how to influence change without having authority. And this show is a resource for people who are leading change from the middle to understand how change works and learn new ideas for how to implement it. Today, my guest is Blair Miller, who is here to share how to create and sustain innovation in the workplace. Blair is founder and president of Blair Miller & Associates. For 18 years, he has dedicated himself to helping organizations cultivate creative leadership, team building, and innovation. As a guest instructor at MBA programs, Blair has taught at the Kellogg School of Management, University of Chicago, and Emory University. Blair has co-authored numerous articles and books on creativity, innovation, and creative problem solving. He is the publisher of Foresight, the Breakthrough Thinking Profile, which has offered thousands of individuals and teams the ability to see how their personal problem-solving style affects their creative output. Blair also has something I love, a Master's of Science. I love that it's science. A Master's of Science degree in Creativity, Innovation, and Change Leadership at the State University of New York. Blair, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Heather. It's good to be here.
Great. So let's just start with the basics, because some people have different definitions. What is your definition of innovation?
Well, I try to distill through the mass of different innovation definitions that can get quite complex and just go for the simple. Innovation is the successful introduction of new and useful ideas. How's that for a soundbite?
That's pretty easy. How is that different from creativity, or do you say they're different or the same?
Yeah, I'd say creativity is the necessary front end of innovation. So where innovation is the successful introduction of new and useful ideas, creativity is the production of original ideas that are then made useful.
Okay.
So there's that interplay. You have to have the new idea that you polish and you hone to make it useful, but then innovation is doing something with it.
Okay, so it sounds like there's sort of a complete process here. You're creating ideas and then actually implementing them.
Yeah. Yeah,
great.
Getting it introduced, and if you're introducing a new product, it's actually getting it on the shelf and having people take it off the shelf, make the purchase,
yeah.
Use it.
So, why is it important for organizations to have innovation?
Well, I guess it comes to not to bring out a cliche, but it's the recognition that change is all around us. Change in the marketplace, within a company, the change of people, the change of circumstance, that adage that you grow or you die is not so much the how it's been taken in business where you expand your market or you're done with. It's more that you need to be responding to changing circumstances. It's true for us as people. It's true for animals. It's true for different systems. And creativity is a way to identify changes, possibly before they come, to anticipate changes, and then to respond to them in a way that helps the business or the organization make the most of it.
Okay, so innovation is, you need it because, I mean, well, it goes hand in hand with change.
Yeah, you need it because you need a way to respond to change. And whether or not that's updating your services or updating your products or on a team, updating how you work together, updating relationships, it's a way to stay abreast of the current situation, to be here now versus there then. With the recession was a perfect example. The companies that, from my perspective, the companies that I worked with that really were grasping at straws, hoping that the recession would just go away and they could get back to business as usual, they didn't fare very well. And then there were other companies who really took the recession as an opportunity to train their employees, to retool their services, to retool their product offerings, to recognize that this recession represented a sea change and to respond to it versus a threat that needed to be weathered and to hunker down.
Okay, so I'm looking at this a couple of ways. It seems like for someone who is the audience for this show, someone who is trying to implement change in their organization, whether they're in IT or HR or process improvement or project management or any other role where they're trying to implement change, innovation is required in order to help that change happen, to come up with the ideas of how you're going to make a change and what the change is going to be. But also, innovation can also be the change itself.
Absolutely, it can be the change itself. If we look at it, that what these change leaders are trying to do is to make some creative change in their workplace or in their organization, and to make that creative change happen, they need to be aware of all the dynamics that are taking place, the people who are involved, the processes, the environment, the leadership, and when they take those factors into account, they're better positioned to actually make the change stick.
So how do you foster innovation in an organization?
Well, you know, what I often do is take that rubric I just threw out there, the notion that for a creative change to take place, a good place to start is the people that are involved in it, and then take a snapshot or an assessment of the environment, and to look at what processes, tools, techniques, methodologies people are using together to make this change happen. And then to develop those aspects that we see need to be developed, and then to move it forward into a change. Depending on the size, do you want me to go into a little bit more into how to approach that?
Yes, please.
So probably first and foremost is to take a snapshot at the environment. And when we look at the environment is like the sum total of the psychological climate, the policies and practices, and at some level the political realities. Outside forces. And in terms of specifically the creative environment, there we're looking at specific dimensions. Goran Ekpal, the European researcher, when he looked at creative climate, he looked at the areas of freedom, risk-taking, challenging work. That is, that the individuals feel like they need to bring their best selves to work, that they're challenged, that there's trust, there's playfulness, there's idea support. That is, that not all ideas are accepted, but that there is support among team members and managers. There's dynamism. That is, there's a lot going on. Debate. Ideas are debated on their merits versus conflict, where conflict being where the merits of ideas are put off to the side and personal attacks, inappropriate interpersonal relations. So we want debate. We don't want so much conflict. Mm-hmm. We can look at those dimensions and just do a thumbnail assessment of where a team is or an organization. We also could use different measures, validated measures that you can use to look at these dimensions. But with that, there's usually some targeted areas that we can say, this is where this environment is really, really strong, and let's leverage, let's expand that and do more of that, and that appreciative inquiry sort of approach. Mm-hmm. We can also look at the people involved, and that's where that foresight inventory that you mentioned earlier. If you can gain an appreciation for when people engage in breakthrough thinking, they engage in problem solving. In other words, looking at the challenges they face, the opportunities they face, how do they go about responding to that? There's a measure, the foresight measure, that looks at not only where your strengths are, where your preferences are, you can see where the preferences are of those you work with. And with that appreciation, you can then target what tools, techniques, processes you can use, and you can use those more effectively.
Well, let's dig in a little bit into the you talked about people have different preferences, and I've taken the foresight profile, so as you know, so I'm familiar with it.
That's how we met.
Right. So it's very interesting. So why don't you talk about the different types of people or different preferences people have and how that works?
Well, the four main preferences and by way of introducing this, it's important for everyone to know what the assumptions are. The assumption is that everybody is creative to some degree. Mm-hmm. And it's our understanding that creativity is a universally distributed trait. That is, everybody has some, whether or not we're aware of it or not. And that we apply that creative force or that creative ability in anything that we do. It's not just for artists who are making a poem or writing a beautiful piece of work or painting, but it's really a trait that everybody engages in their activities. Like Maslow said of the creative expression is that a first-rate cup of soup made by a cook who spent their entire lives cooking in home, that really applying their best work, and they've really developed it to a fine point, can be more creative than a second-rate painting. But into these preferences when people engage in this breakthrough thinking. There are clarifiers, ideators, developers, and implementers, and those four preferences look like this. Clarifiers are the people who identify challenges, and really they keep things real. They are the ones that like to look at what are the challenges to face and what's the information involved. Ideators are the people who generate ideas, novelty, originality. They proliferate alternatives. Developers are the people who bring those initial ideas to life. They take a good idea and they make it a great idea. And implementers are the ones that really give ideas legs. They take ideas and they deliver the goods. They make it happen. And there's a fifth, which is an amalgamation of all four. We call those integrators. And those are people who tend to keep process flowing, keep it moving, making sure that everyone has been heard from. They like to keep things moving through a process.
Pretty much the whole organization take it, whoever was participating in the training that you provided for us. But within my team, I remember that there were probably about 10 of us, and most of them, we were in operations, so most of them were implementers. They were the let's get it done kind of guys. Also, some ideators. I was the only one in the room that was a clarifier ideator.
I remember that.
Type person. And there was maybe one or two developers. But so it gave me a lot of understanding into why I was so frustrated that the guys just wanted to take everything and run with it without even thinking about what they were doing. So it just provided a lot of insight.
Well, you know, you're bringing up a really good point, and that is the dynamics of teams when they get together and actually do work. It's remarkable how preference can show up as action, particularly when we're operating without awareness. You know, once we have awareness, then we can say, "Oh, I have a tendency to just pick up an idea and go with it," ready, fire, aim. And that was probably the situation you were in where you felt like, oh, no, there's all these people doing all of these things, but they're not taking the time to breathe and figure out, do we really need to do this?
Right.
It might be fun for people to try to figure out what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I could run through some questions and people could do a little self-reflection on what they think their styles are.
Yeah, that'd be great.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to toss out some questions, and maybe people can rate themselves on a scale of 1 to 4. How much do they think they engage in this with a great deal of energy or ease? When we talk about these, we're really talking about energy. Everybody, as particularly your listeners, people who are engaged in their world and involved with things, engage in each of these four modes of thinking: clarifying, ideating, developing, and implementing. We all do it, but it's a matter of the ease with which we do it. If you think about preferences like handedness, some of us are righties and some of us are lefties.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a righty, I'm a righty. If you pick up a pen, you probably can sign your name or write almost effortlessly. if you're a writer and you pick up the pen with your left hand, you may, in fact, be able to sign your name and to be able to write with it. But I'll bet it takes more effort. You might find yourself gripping the pen or pencil more tightly. And you could probably train yourself to write well with your opposite hand, but when it comes right down to it, you'd likely always prefer using it with your dominant hand, or in this case, your right hand.
Sure.
So here are some questions. We'll start with the clarifiers. Clarifiers tend to be analytical, probing, inquisitive. Their motto might be, I question.
Yep.
Ideators would be fun, intuitive, divergent, original. I create. They're the folks that are always proliferating ideas. I know we could do this. We could do that. Developers, the words that might describe them would be deliberate, accurate, precise. I perfect ideas. I mean, take them from good to great ideas. Implementers, action-oriented, quick thinking, directive. It might say, I do things.
Great.
So those are the four areas. And if you take a look at this or if you look at those and you still wonder, I wonder what I am. I'm not sure this is exactly me. A real good way to check in on that is to ask somebody, describe in brief what these are, and ask somebody who's known you for a long time or has worked with you for a long time, seen you in a lot of different situations. Maybe they've seen you plan a vacation or seen you plan a weekend or make a big decision like what job you're going to have or where you're going to go to school. And that's where it often comes out. Clarifiers might say, when I plan a big vacation, I really I figure out where I'm going to go, and then I look on the internet. I gather all the information. When I land in a city, I know exactly where the hotels are. I know exactly what I'm going to do each day. The ideators might plan it more by saying, deciding on where they're going to go, but their ideal vacation would be to go and kind of make it up as they go, kind of generate ideas once they're on the ground. Mm-hmm. Developers would have a very detailed plan, be very orderly and deliberate in how they go about making that plan. And the implementers would figure out what they were going to do and then just go do it, but they might end up being there and not have thought through everything that needed to get thought through, but they were there.
Okay.
Go
ahead and finish up your thought there.
Oh, no, that's
okay. Well, back to how do you foster innovation, because you started with talking about the environment, looking at the environment that the innovation needs to happen in, and then look at the people who need to do the innovation, I guess, who need to be innovative, creative. And then what was next after that?
The next thing after that is to put all of those pieces together and actually create the change, to create the things that need to be done. So that might be a new product, or it might be a new policy, or it might be a new program. And then to go through the process of trial and error, where you start trying to implement. And in implementation, I tell you, a challenge I see quite often is an individual or a group will come up with their program, what they want to do, and they'll detail a plan and then try to keep that plan intact throughout their implementation effort. The challenge there is when a person has only one alternative or one path forward, they actually put themselves in a very weak position. Because if that plan gets frustrated, a manager doesn't like it or an executive doesn't like it, and they have no alternatives to fall back on, it often can stop right there. And that's where you'll hear people lamenting, well, we tried, but you can't do anything here, or no one listens to us, or so-and-so just rejected our plan.
Mm-hmm.
I think a better way to look at it is to look at it as a wheel that turns, and that is that whenever you try something, you make an attempt, think of it as a learning cycle, asking yourself, what happened? So what does that mean? Now, what are we going to do? What happened? So what? Now what? What? So what? Now what? And what that means is that if you go to your manager, you know, whatever level you are, you go to your manager and you present the idea, and they listen to it, but then they say they give whatever reason not to go forward. One way to look at that is, well, we're defeated. There's no way to go forward. Another is to be sure to walk out of that conversation with some insight into what did they like about it and what were their specific concerns. What is it about your idea or the project did they not like? Turn that into some kind of learning and adjust your approach accordingly. Now, this is in essence using your creative abilities to always be moving forward. It's like the old child's game, hotter, hotter, colder, colder. Did you ever play that as a kid? You know, where someone would hide something and you'd just start blindly moving around the house or the backyard and people would say, hotter, colder, and you
right.
kind of keep moving forward. Well, I think creativity is a lot like that game of hotter, hotter, colder, colder. Just because you start moving in a direction and people are saying colder, colder, you didn't just give up. You sorted out what was going on, and you adjusted your approach.
Mm-hmm.
And what that translates into are other characteristics like tenacity and integrity. You keep yourself moving with persistence, tenacity, and integrity of result. We're kind of going in a lot of different directions, but the process, clarify, ideate, develop, implement, we as individuals have preferences for those different activities. If you're an ideator, you can end up spending too much time constantly generating alternatives. If you're a clarifier, you can get stuck by asking too many questions. Developers can get stuck by looking for the perfect solution or just that perfect outcome. Implementers can get stuck in just always wanting to be in action. But if you can sort through how to do all of those things in concert, together and grab the power and the energy of everybody, you can do remarkable things.
Great. Well, thanks so much, Blair, for being here.
You're welcome. Thank you. It's very nice to talk with you, Heather, as always.
And where can listeners find out more about you and the Foresight Profile if they wanted to take that? And
The Foresight Profile can be found at the web address foresightonline.com. That's foresightonline.com.
Okay.
And there are lots of different resources, tool cards, process guides. The instrument can be gotten there. And those are all different materials that can help a change agent hone the people side and the process side of their change efforts.
Great. And I've taken it, and it's very insightful, so I agree. Thanks again.
You're welcome. Nice.
So the next show coming up in 2 weeks, the topic is the ROI, Return on Investment, of Change Management. That's coming up on Tuesday, October 12, 2010, at 11 a.m. Eastern. My guest will be David Miller, who I don't think is related to Blair Miller, unless you have a distant cousin in the UK or something. But David is from a company called Change First Limited. This is going to be my first international call-in to the show, so we'll see how that goes. But they've done a massive research study on what the ROI of change management is, and so that should be very interesting. In the meantime, if you would like to find more resources and learn how we might work together to help you influence change in your organization, please visit enclaria.com. Thank you so much for listening to the Change Agent's Dilemma. Take care and best wishes for your change initiative.
Using an overpriced trash bag.
Pricey, pricey, pricey!
A bag that breaks.
Whippy, whippy, whippy!
Or a smelly bag.
Stinky, stinky, stinky!
Time to switch to Hefty Ultra Strong trash bags, always at an ultra low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty.
There are best bags yet, and they cost less than Glad ForceFlex were sold head-to-head. So you'll be
happy, happy, happy!
Hefty Ultra Strong with Arm & Hammer Odor Control. Available at Sam's Club.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Using an overpriced trash bag.
Pricey, pricey, pricey!
A bag that breaks.
Whippy, whippy, whippy!
Or a smelly bag.
Stinky, stinky, stinky!
Time to switch to Hefty Ultra Strong trash bags, always at an ultra low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
There are best bags yet, and they cost less than Glad ForceFlex were sold head-to-head. So you'll be
happy, happy, happy!
Hefty Ultra Strong with Arm & Hammer Odor Control. Available at Sam's Club.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!